Hello, this is News Director Larissa Donovan, and joining me on the phone today is candidate for Ward 2, Jamie Thibodeau. How's it going today, Jamie?
It's good. Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, yeah, it's a show of sorts. These are probably all going online, but if we have room, we might get them on air. But with 18 candidates, it might be kind of tricky. But anyway, before we get started with the questions, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, like how long you've been in Bemidji?
That's a great question. I've been in Bemidji since 2010, and I have lived in Ward 2 since 2012. I'm not from here, but I love Bemidji. It's my official home now. I moved here from Louisiana, but my background is in ecology, and obviously Bemidji is rich in natural resources around. I have 15 years of experience working with in the ecology profession as a environmental assessment ecologist, and so I work with a lot of project proposers on very large infrastructure, development projects, various other things, and work with them on thinking through their project and how they're going to minimize impacts to the natural resource and the environment and to our recreation of natural resources. So that's a little bit about me. I'm a very pragmatic person because of this, and it's really exercise my negotiation and strategic thinking skills. And oftentimes for this type of work, you have to really anticipate what will happen with a project once it's constructed and anticipate impacts and think in a very long range fashion about potential consequences of various activities. So that's a little bit about myself. I'm really, really into the greater good and volunteerism, and I show that through my work primarily with the Mississippi Headwaters Audubon Society, where I'm on the board of directors and have been pretty much since I moved here in 2010.
All right, great. Now, I know you ran for Ward 2 back in 2018. Were there any other campaigns you have run in the past?
Those are it.
All right. Well, what made you want to run again this year?
Well, I have always been a believer in the greater good and volunteerism, and I felt that there was a need for someone to run in my ward. It didn't that represented the needs of the ward and the people of Bemidji. And so with that in mind, I'm not a politician, but it aligned with my values for serving the public and the greater good.
All right, next I have a few specific city issues. If you feel like you don't have enough information to answer them, we can certainly skip them. But my first one is, half of the city is non-taxable land and properties, so a significant burden to operate the city falls on the remaining city property taxpayers. What solutions do you think would solve this problem?
You know, the one thing that I've been really pushing for the city is to come up with a strategic plan. Not just a short 10-year plan, but we really need to be looking into the long range, and that falls within our it covers a lot of aspects of our issues that we deal with. I think that, you know, tackling them one by one as issues arise can get you somewhere, but we really kind of need to be thinking strategically and long range. And the taxable income, it is a significant topic that comes up again and again, and we really need to start making some goals for ourselves and setting, you know, some individual steps that we can take to start making progress towards how to deal with our taxable income. The city does own and manage some land that is that they are working on selling. I think marketing the the areas that are the most attractive to developers could be is the first step, and I know our city manager is working on that. The other issue is, whether or not we want to have a hospitality tax to help support our some of our infrastructure and some of the things that we have that we are working with the greater Bemidji and the greater area to provide resources to the greater landscape, such as the Sanford Center, and looking at those issues in a hard fashion and how one activity or one increase in tax here or selling of land there, how it will affect us in the long run.
All right. My next question is on the Highway 197 business corridor. MnDOT plans to work on that stretch of highway in 2024, and the famous or infamous plan, if you will, for multiple roundabouts was scrapped. What do you think should happen there to improve it, the corridor, and while maintaining accessibility?
You know, I participated in the 197 stakeholder meetings as I live very close to the 197 corridor and use it extensively. And the community that I live in, I'm kind of nestled in this area where a lot of people don't have cars. Or they have their one car family. The current 197 is not very accessible, both to pedestrians, but anyone with mobility issues or balance issues. The sidewalk being not close to the roadway is a major concern, and it can't be kept up in a reasonable fashion to move snow for pedestrians and people with wheelchairs. So I am very passionate about that project, that something needs to be done there to assist with accessibility to businesses and grocery stores and various other things, so people can get to work and get their essential services if they don't have a car. That's really important, I think, for this area of Bemidji. And I've brought that voice to the table with MnDOT. And my concern about roundabouts, I was there with all the businesses that were concerned, and some of them, particularly over at the crossing by Bemidji State University, there is a significant amount of land that could be impacted from the roundabout. So that's a valid concern, and I hear that voice. The other is that there are some issues with accessibility of the roundabouts. They, for people with any kind of visual or hearing impairment, primarily the visual impairments, and people with mobility impairments. Roundabouts do a really good job at keeping traffic moving, the cars moving, but in doing so, there's no pause for cars to stop and to allow people to move through. So I've been, working with the project planners at MnDOT, sort of sending them some best management guidelines that I've dug up to address that. I think moving forward, we really need to work with the businesses as well to make sure that they can remain healthy and vibrant. One thing that could be done during the construction, that can be a big disruption to our business community during the construction is another concern. If we can, the city work with the Greater Bemidji or some of our staff work on grants to provide low interest loans and no interest loans to get them through that period of time where the business might be limited, I think that's going to be really important for that project because it is such a major economic corridor. That's where I stand with that project. I think it needs to be done, but I think it needs to be done very carefully and thoughtfully.
All right, great. My next question should be right up your alley. The city's water system needs an expensive fix, and without legislative bonding dollars or a sales tax, that burden will likely fall to utility ratepayers. What are your thoughts on the project and possible funding solutions should that legislative fix not happen?
Well, that's a definitely difficult question. You know, I've been sort of watching this issue. Water quality is a very, you know, both drinking water and the water meets EPA's, you know, health standards, but it does not meet Minnesota Department of Health advisory limits for nursing women and pregnant women and for children. And so I think, and also there is the potential that as we continue to pump on the wells, that the plume of pollution could come and become more concentrated. So the city has been working on a temporary fix the contract has been awarded, and that we will see, barring any kind of state bonding, we will see an increase in our utility bills on that. But that's a temporary solution, and there's more fixes needed to make sure that we have a long-term solution. And I have reached out to our state legislators and Senator Eichhorn and Representative Purcell both support state bonding for that project. So I'm confident that we can get that through. I think that we need to work very hard as a community to make sure that our voice is heard so that that we go through from start to finish and then we get this done. Moving forward, again, with strategic long-range planning, I think that we need to be looking at our wellhead protection area because it is located in a very vulnerable location at the airport. We don't have a whole lot of aquifer protection at that location. It's 300 feet of sand, so anything that happens on the surface will affect our wells. And how we manage that wellhead protection area will be very important. You know, there's some additional protections that we can put in place to protect our wellhead protection area. And I said protection about five times.
But, yeah.
we really need to protect our water. And I think some other things that we should be thinking about with strategic long-range planning is how we want to move forward with our water system as a whole. Because if we have a major firefight, you know, major fire events happen like we had last winter at the Hockey Minnesota Day fire, as I'll call it, across the street from the Garden Barn Grill. That was a major pull on our water. So what else do we need to be thinking about when we move forward with our water management for drinking water? The same applies for our wastewater treatment plant. As we move forward as a community and we start to develop areas and annex more areas into the city, what is our water infrastructure going to look like in the next 50 years? 10-year planning can get us only so far, but when you come with these, when you start to grow as a city, we need to be thinking long range.
All right, great. Well, my next couple of questions are on some current events. Recent events in the city and state have highlighted the issues of racism and distrust of the government. What would you do as a council member to improve race relations and trust?
I think this is a really important question, and this is something that came up during my first campaign in 2018. Having lived in other areas and then living in Bemidji, we are really segregated here. And Minnesota has some of the biggest gaps in health outcomes and economic outcomes. And we can do better. And so one of the elephants in the room is that Bemidji is between three sovereign tribal nations, and we have residents that live here from those nations. And our council does not have the ability to always consider those views or represent those views or in our decision making. With diversity and inclusion, one of my ideas that I brought forth to existing council members in 2018 is to have an advisory council sitting at the table when council decisions are made, a representative from an advisory council on diversity and inclusion. It could be specifically tribal-related, or it could be more whole or more inclusive to include people with disabilities and other people of color. But our city council is very, I think we need to be more intentional in inclusivity and how we consider that not everyone thinks the same. And we really need help with that. I don't think there's any way that we can be inclusive without having some guidance and discussion. And at the time in 2018, I don't think we had the capacity, largely due to the well issues that we were dealing with, the drinking water issues. And but a small group of people are currently working on a cultural roundtable, and this idea has been brought up again. And as a city council member, I will fight for making a space at the table to be intentionally inclusive so that we can move forward as a community together.
All right, my final question is on COVID-19. While many businesses are beginning to reopen to closer to normal capacity, what do you think a city council's role should be in a public health emergency should this ever happen again?
That's a really great question, Larissa, and I'm glad you asked it. I think this has been very enlightening to our community and somewhat shocking at how much impact this can have both on our economy as well as how people relate together and our connectivity during this time. I think the city's first and foremost role is a little bit like when you're on an airplane and they give you that demonstration about what to do if there's low oxygen due to pressure, and that you need to put on your mask first before you help others. And so I think the city is being very aware of how we as a community and Bemidji and our finances are affected by this pandemic, and are being very cognizant about making sure that we keep the lights on, so to speak, during this. But the other side of it is being flexible and coming up with very creative solutions. And I really like that we were able to get some creative solutions going with the outdoor seating for businesses, for the restaurants. And I think that encouraging businesses and on thinking about creative solutions during these times is very important, and letting them know about the resources they have, and also just making sure that we keep those lines of communication open.
All right. And is there, I know you mentioned that some of the actions the council did take to address COVID-19 and some of the peripheral activities that happened, like the impacts on economy and business. But what is there anything that you may have done differently if you were on the council?
I think the council maybe, not being in that position myself, I think it's hard for me to judge. I think they've done a really good job. I think keeping the lines of communication open is the most important thing that they can do. And being able to start those conversations earlier may have been helpful, but I don't think anyone knew at the time what was coming and how quickly changes would be shifting. So I'm not sure that hindsight is always 20/20. Yeah. So I'm not sure that there's anything that, you know, I, without being able to anticipate what's happening, it's all very confusing, very, very heartbreaking. It's kind of like life got away from us for a little while. Everything just shut down.
Yeah, and they took away our summer.
So everyone was reeling, including council members, dealing with all of their personal stuff. I think I really believe in life that everyone does the best they can. And so I think the council did the best they could. And I think the businesses did the best they could at bringing forth their issues. And I think, we got to a place where we could work together. It took a while to get there, but we, you know, it was uncharted territory, really. It was a very scary, crazy time.
Amen. Well, all right, Jamie, is there anything else you wanted to be sure we touched on before I let you go today?
I think that is it.
All right, fantastic. Jamie Thibodeau for Ward 2.